Before we open the scriptures to read God's word together, let's confess our faith about the importance of good works. The good works of the Christian, how important that is to God. Lord's Day 32 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 32, question and answers 86 and 87. We move to the third part here of the Christian faith. First, we must know our sin and misery, and we must know our salvation in Jesus Christ, and now we must know also how to serve him. We come to that third part, how to serve the God who saved us. Since we have been delivered from our misery by grace through Christ without any merit of our own, why then should we do good works? Because Christ, having redeemed us by his blood, is also renewing us by his Spirit into his image, so that with our whole lives we may show that we are thankful to God for his benefits, and that he may be praised through us. And further, so that we may be assured of our faith by its fruits, and by our godly living, our neighbors may be won over to Christ. Question 87. Can those be saved who do not turn to God from their ungrateful and unrepentant ways? By no means. Scripture tells us that no unchaste person, no idolater, adulterer, thief, no covetous person, no drunkard, slanderer, robber, or the like will inherit the kingdom of God. This is the teaching that we find in Scripture. May God bless this teaching. Let's open his word to Romans 7 and 8. The Bible, Romans 7, verse 21. And we'll read through 8, verse 9. Romans 7, verse 21 through 8, verse 9. Our struggle with sin, but also the power of the Spirit to help us in that struggle so that we can live for God, we can do good. Romans 7, verse 21, the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, writes, "So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For what God has done, or God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him, does not belong to Christ." May God bless this word, congregation, and strengthen our faith and our life through his good word. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, the true Christian faith teaches both that good works are impossible and good works are essential for salvation. Good works are impossible for salvation and they're essential for salvation. Now, you might think that sounds like a trap or a contradiction, but it's the truth. The Bible says on the one hand that it's impossible for your good works to save you. Your good works can't save you at all. The Bible says we're saved by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone, apart from our works. Works have no place at all in the reason God saves us. You cannot earn God's forgiveness. You cannot earn his justification by your good works. You can't get yourself adopted by God. You can't earn God's love for you. Only Jesus' good works, done for you, done instead of you, can save you from beginning to end. Only those works are good enough for God. And when you cling to Jesus in faith, those good works are imputed to you as if they were your own. And that's why God accepts us and loves us and saves us through Jesus' good works, which are all yours when you trust in Jesus. So on the one hand, good works are impossible for our salvation. On the other hand, the Bible teaches they're essential for your salvation. That if you don't live your life for the Lord in all good works, you aren't saved. You won't enter the kingdom of heaven. No holiness, no heaven. So good works are both essential and impossible. And here's the teaching we want to see this morning with God's help. We who were saved by God apart from works should and must do good works because of the Spirit who now lives in us. We who were saved by God apart from our works, apart from anything we've done, should and must do good works because of the Spirit of power who has come to live in us. Pentecost, the Spirit's presence and power in us to do good. First, we want to see that we're saved in Jesus, deliverance in Christ. Secondly, new life in his Spirit. And thirdly, death in the flesh. We're saved. We're delivered in Christ Jesus. Romans 7 is a remarkable chapter. And in it, Paul talks about his ongoing struggle with sin. And the struggle that he, as he describes it, is so raw and so real. If you go back to Romans 7 and look at verses 18 and 19, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me," says Paul, "that is in my flesh. I have the desire to do what's right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want, that's what I keep on doing." And then verse 21, "So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand." And in verse 14, he says, "I am of flesh, sold under sin." His struggle with sin is so raw and so real that many people think that Paul is describing what his life was like before he was converted to Christ. Oh, that's got to be Paul before he was saved. No true believer, Christian, sins like this or has this struggle. Many cannot imagine that a believer is so powerless in themselves to fight sin and to do good as how Paul describes in Romans 7. That believers cannot have still so much sin power living in them. But congregation, Paul is describing his life as a Christian after he was converted to Christ. Look at verses 15 and 16. "For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate." If he hates sin, he's talking about his life as a Christian. And then verse 16, now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that is good. He doesn't want to sin. He agrees the law is good. That's the mind of a Christian. And then look at verse 20. Now if I do what I do not want, it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. It's not me anymore. I'm in Christ. It's the power of sin that's still assaulting me. And then verse 22, I delight in the law of God in my inner being. Paul's describing his wrestling match with sin as a believer. The great apostle still experienced such powerlessness in himself when it came to sin's pull on his life. And that's the condition of every believer. Because though sin no longer reigns in us, Christ does by his Spirit. Sin remains in us. The flesh still assaults us, lives in us. And the word the flesh in the Bible means the sinful nature that pulls you into seeing and doing what's wrong. And so Paul cries out in verse 24, wretched man that I am, not that I was, that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Do you know this struggle as a Christian? If you're not a Christian, this really doesn't bother you that much. What bothers you is that somebody might catch you sinning, and so you try to hide and keep it out of people's reach and sight, but you don't hate sin and fight it and get frustrated by it. But wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? When God saves you, there's a war in you now against your sin. And that's the heavy conflict that Paul describes between the flesh and the mind set on Christ, verse 27b. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. That's the war in him. But now I want you to see, congregation, and we need to know this for our own lives, the resting place. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm so thankful to God for the gift of Jesus Christ. He's the one who gives me my deliverance. In this embattled life where I want to do good, but I continue to sin and struggle with sin, my deliverance does not come from my performance. I do not have to save myself at any moment. My deliverance comes from Jesus Christ, my Lord. In him, I'm right with God. In him, my sins are forgiven. In him, I am righteous. And then he goes on in chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When we get to the question of good works, and God wants you to give him a life full of good works, we must never rest in how well we're doing good works. We must never rest in our own performance for our standing before God, for our righteousness, but know that our not guilty verdict, our no condemnation verdict, is found in Christ Jesus. For my sin was condemned in Jesus' flesh on the cross. That's where God beat up my sin and gave my sin its proper punishment. He gave my sin hell to Jesus, on Jesus at the cross. Condemnation. My condemnation was put on him. And now I get, through faith in Jesus, a no condemnation verdict. We love to do good works. We're driven by the Spirit to do good works as Christians. We're frustrated when we get hindered from doing good works by our own sin. But our resting place, our deliverance, is always found in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And that word now in verse 1, there's now. right now for me, this wretched man. Now in the context of Romans 7. Now in this struggle, this trouble. No condemnation. I'm accepted. I'm loved. I'm favored by God, even on a bad day. Even on those days when I cave in too often. When I trust in Jesus Christ, He is all my righteousness. He is my no condemnation before God. Got to go there every day, brothers and sisters. Never rest in how well you're doing in your own good works. And I know, dear believer, you want to do good and you want to do better. I love that. God loves that in us. I hope the same lives in me. It does. But let's never rest on how well we're doing in the life of good works for how much God loves us. Let's rest in Jesus Christ for how much God loves us. His works are perfect. His works are finished. You trust in Him. And that's how question and answer 86, the whole section on Christians doing good works, begins. We're delivered by Jesus Christ. We're not saved by our own merits. We're redeemed by Jesus' blood. But, second point, there's more to your salvation, dear believer. You're forgiven in Christ. You're delivered in Christ. But you have more than no condemnation. You have more than forgiveness. You have new life. You have the Spirit. Look what Paul says in Romans 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. You have the no condemnation verdict. You have the love of God in Christ Jesus. But you also have the law of the Spirit of life that has set you free in Christ from the law of sin and death. Law here doesn't mean the commandment, but the power, the authority, the control. Let's replace the word law with control. The control, or the rule of the Spirit of life, has set you free in Christ from the control of the law, or the law of sin and death, the control of sin and death. Wow. When you trusted in Jesus Christ and He forgave you all your sin and made you right with God, you got more. You also got a new life. He filled you with His Holy Spirit when you believed. Before you came to Christ, before you were saved, dear brother, dear sister, dear believer, you were ruled by the law of sin and death. You were ruled by lust, by slander, by rage, by malice, by the love of money, by greed, by self-preservation, got to protect yourself no matter what. By jealousy, by alcohol, by having it your way. And that's life in the flesh, in the sinful nature. That's life in Satan's grip. But when you repented and you came to Christ as a sinner, looking for rescue, looking for refuge from the wrath of God, looking for new life, looking for salvation, looking for forgiveness, Jesus covered you with His blood, gave you a new record, took away all your guilt. But He also put a new law in your life, the law, a new control, a controller. Not sin as your controller, sin that leads to death, but the Spirit as your new controller who brings you to life, the Spirit of life, the law of the Spirit of life. Now you have a new power and a new law controlling your life, which makes you weep when you face off with sin and say, wretched man that I am, and makes you rejoice in God's law, in offering your life to God, in loving service and loving your neighbor and being able to witness to them and show off Jesus Christ to them in the way you talk and live. That's the new delight. There's a new hatred when the law of the Spirit of life lives in you. Hatred for your sin and its pull, its temptation. Boy, that can just upset you. And there's a new love for God, for Christ, for His Word, for His commandments, for delighting in His law, for showing Him off to your neighbors. That I was brought out of darkness into His marvelous light that I might proclaim His excellencies. Wow. That's the life in the Spirit. And that's the new life that God has planned for us in Christ Jesus, and that Jesus purchased for us by His death. Look with me at Romans 8, verses 3 and 4. Very important verses, those two. Romans 8, verses 3 and 4. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. The law could tell you to do this or that, but it couldn't give you the power to do it. Christ could. Listen. The law, God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. Jesus, or God, did two things for us in Christ. He condemned our sin in Jesus' flesh and filled us with the Holy Spirit so that we can fulfill the requirements of the law by walking according to the Spirit. Wow. What a life. And that's why we should do good works. There are some reasons. Well, there's one reason for sure not to do good works, so that we can be saved. No, Christ redeemed us by His blood. You can't earn your salvation by being a good person or by your background, by having a good dad or a good mom. You can't. They're sinners themselves. They can't save you. You can't save yourself by being talented, because every use of your talent has sin stains on it. No, Christ redeemed us by His blood. Some might say, well, the reason you should do good works is because God commands you to. Well, yes, He does, but that doesn't give you the power to do it either. That just gives you more condemnation power, because you can't keep His law in your own strength. Why should you do good works? Having been redeemed by His blood, Christ is renewing us by His Spirit into His image. Christ has given us His Spirit so that we can show ourselves thankful to God for all that He's done to us, and He can be praised through us, so that we can be assured of our faith by its fruits and by our godly lives win our neighbors over to Christ. It's the Spirit who plants these desires for thankfulness, for loving the God who loved us, for wanting to be assured of our faith by seeing its fruits, by wanting to show Christ to our neighbors. It's the Spirit who gives us that desire, puts that law of new life. And that doesn't take the struggle away. Romans 7 and Romans 8, we talked about several weeks ago, are the balanced view of the Christian life. Romans 7, man, struggle with sin, wretched man that I am. Romans 8, man, filled with the Spirit. And some say, I'll go for the Romans 7 Christian. And others, I'll go for the Romans 8 Christian. One is defeatist. We're all sinners. We can't do any better. The other's a triumphalist. I have the Spirit. If I try hard, I won't sin at all. They go together. There's that struggle with sin that continues in our lives, beloved, that makes us want to please ourselves rather than please God, and serve ourselves rather than serve God. But there's also the power of the Spirit that plants the holy war in us so we can fight that desire to please ourselves and to serve ourselves. And fight that desire to look for a little bit of peace and quietness in alcohol. That desire to rage, to gossip, to speak evil. He plants in us the war against that, against lust. And he plants in us that desire to walk with God and to live according to his commandments. And that's why we should do good. Why should you do good? Because Christ by his Spirit is working in you to make you more and more like himself. You were predestined, remember, to be conformed to the image of Christ. Well, beloved, that is the Christian life. It's resting in Christ alone every day for our deliverance, for our no condemnation. At the same time, it's resting in the Spirit of Christ to grow in grace, to become more like Jesus, to make progress in our walk with God, in our relationships with others, because to be honest, none of us does a very good job with either. We often botch our fellowship with God. We often botch our relationship with our spouse, with one another in the church, with our children, with our neighbors. But in the Spirit's power, we can grow. We can grow and love all the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness and self-control. That's Jesus. And when the Spirit lives in you, he grows that fruit, that Jesus fruit in you, so you look more and more like Jesus. And there's no power for witnessing like the power of a transformed life. Transformed eyes that look at people properly. Transformed tongue that speaks properly. Transformed ears that listen properly. Transformed hands that help properly. A transformed mind that keeps being renewed to think properly, biblically. And it's not that we can, in the power of the Spirit, do this all alone. The Spirit gives gifts within the communion of the saints so we can support and help one another. That new life in the Spirit is a life lived together. So we can help one another in the fight against sin and help one another in putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. But either way, it is the Spirit's good work in us to do good. And that's why, as Christians, we don't have a two-part salvation. Knowing our sin, looking to Jesus for salvation, but a three-part or three aspects. Knowing our sin and misery, looking to Jesus for salvation, and then being filled with the Spirit to live a life of good works. We don't throw good works to the side. In fact, good works are the very purpose. Jesus saved us. You know that from Ephesians 2. We've been saved by grace through faith, and this is not from ourselves. It is the work of God, or not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, saved in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Well, thirdly, there's also a warning in Romans 8. That if you're not in the Spirit, then you don't belong to Jesus. You're not in Christ. And then you are in the flesh still, controlled by the sinful nature, and you cannot please God. It's either or. You're in Christ and in his Spirit and striving to live for God all the time, or you're in the flesh, following the law of sin and death, living in sin, living for sin, living to get sin's next fix, living to please yourself, controlled by evil desires. either in Christ and in the Spirit, or you're in the flesh. And the Bible's very clear on this, people of God. You might call yourself a Christian, but if you do not turn to God from your life of sin, then you do not have the Spirit. And if you don't have the Spirit, you don't belong to Christ. We read that in question and answer 87. Scripture tells us that no unchaste person, no idolater, no adulterer, no thief, no covetous person, no drunkard, no slanderer, no robber, or the like will inherit the kingdom of God. And that question and answer is based on several scripture passages. I just want to read two. The first one's from 1 Corinthians 6. And the second one's from Galatians 5. Listen to the passage from 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. That's the life you're living, and you're not repenting of that. You will not go to heaven. You're not saved. You need the Spirit. You need Jesus to give you forgiveness and the Spirit to live a new life. And then the other passage, Galatians 5, 19 through 23, the works of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, rivalry, jealousy, outbursts of anger, quarrels, conflicts, factions, envy, murder, drunkenness, wild partying, and the like. I'm telling you now, says the Bible, as I've told you in the past, people who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. If you're living in any sin, and your life is controlled and led by sin, you're walking in your own lusts of the heart and evil desires, I plead with you not to go on in that pathetic, sin-loving life. Sin is both an insult to God, it's degrading to your own life, it's damaging to other people. It's vicious, it's damning, it will bring you to hell. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die, Romans 8, verse 13. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So turn away from your sin and eternal damnation and turn to Jesus Christ. Confess your sins. Plead his mercy. Look for salvation from yourself in Jesus Christ. And when you come to him, he'll not turn you away. No matter how unworthy and how undeserving you are, we're all in the same spot that way. But he'll take you. He'll love you. He'll wash you in the blood of Jesus Christ. He'll put your hell and damnation off you because he put it on Jesus. He'll give you a new robe, the righteousness of Jesus. He'll put a ring on your finger, new sandals on your feet, throw a good party for you and give you new life in his kingdom. Dear people of God, you have the blood of Jesus Christ. Go there every day for the forgiveness of your sins. Lean on him. He's your deliverance all the time. But you also have the Spirit. And in the weakness of your flesh, when you fight against this temptation or that one, don't let it run over you. Don't let it steamroll you. Cry out to the Spirit. He lives in you. He will help you. He will help you in that war against sin. He will help you put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Cry out to God for his Spirit to fill you, work in you, and cause you to grow. And you will grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because the Spirit is the power of Pentecost in you, so that you can do good. Amen.